The weekend is near, and the next round of footy is finally upon us. And your ultimate guide to all the upcoming action lies within the Fox Footy Podcast Bunker. Welcome to Match Committee.
Another footy fiesta. 5 days of AFL and plenty of games to look forward to, particularly towards the latter half of the round as well. Richmond and Melbourne taking on each other, and of course the mighty Anzac Day. But today we're going to take a bit of a stronger look at the Western Bulldogs, the reigning premiers. Is their decrease in numbers just a little bit of a sign that they're maybe not as good, or is it just a case of Luke Beveridge has changed the game plan? We'll discuss that and more in the Thursday Match Committee ahead of Round 5. G'day everyone, I'm Ben Waterworth, coming to you from the dark side, coming to you from Sydney this week. And from the Fox Sports studios here in Sydney, and joined by two Sydney-siders. Well, a recent Sydney-sider. Firstly, to the more permanent Sydney-sider, of course, our fantasy expert here at foxfooty.com.au, Phil Pryor. Hello, Filthy.
G'day, Ben. Nice of you to drop by.
Yes.
And I'll try and give a more footy-rounded approach and not just the fantasy stuff.
Oh, you'll get plenty of fantasy drops in here. I'll allow that because okay, I'm all about that as well. And, of course, joining us is a recent convert to the Sydney side as well. Normally from Adelaide, but found himself in Sydney this year and doing a very fine job on Fox Sports News and AFL Tonight. Tom Wilson. Hello, Tom.
Thanks for having me on. It's very pleasure to be here. I made a dash
yes,
from the SCG to get here in time, so I've made it, and I'm very much looking forward to it.
Looking Swans keep you behind?
A little bit, yeah. Mm. Just organising a few things that we've got to run a little bit later in yes, AFL Tonight, so
looking forward to that. We'll get into that. We'll preview that a little bit later on. But firstly, as we do each week in the Thursday Match Committee, we have a look at two things: the Match Committee big call and a post-game predicted headline. We'll start with the big call, Phil, with you. Any player from any club who should be dropped/picked ahead of round five? Who are you throwing under the bus here?
I think Port coach Ken Hinckley needs to do something with Sam Powpepper. I've gone straight to the
really?
Super coach relevant dude. Look, either rest him or drop him, or what I would maybe prefer to do is send him to Mark Murphy. It's about time Murphy was held more accountable by
right,
someone. So give him a job to do. Go and tell him to stick to Murphy and do a defensive job on him. That's what I would. That's what I hope happens. And in the Collingwood game, I'm going to slip a second one in here. Get the big Texan in, Mason Cox.
Mason.
A bit of narrative straight. He kicked that big goal on Anzac Day last year. Get him back in there. I know that there's been calls to throw Ben Reid forward to take a bit of the heat off Darcy Moore up there, but Cox can do the same job and not leave the Pies as thin down back.
I don't think that's the greatest idea, considering I brought Brody Grundy into my Supercoach team recently.
That's why I avoided him.
We all know that Brody doesn't go as well when Mason's in the side. What about you, Tom? Your big call for the weekend.
I'm on the Anzac Day clash as well, and I did love the big Texan last year. I actually made the trip across from Adelaide to watch that game.
Magnificent.
What a hiding it was, but great weekend of footy regardless. But I reckon Chris Mayne, the recruit from Fremantle, has wow, to play. He's on big dollars. He's been talked about a lot, but he just has that forward pressure. They've recruited him for a reason, and I think that they really need him. And I think if they can keep the ball inside their forward 50, they're mm-hmm, going to have more chances and more avenues to goal. I know their skills have been terrible. I'm a man who's tipped them, I think, 3 out of 4 times and mm, cursing them because...
Except the week in Sydney, probably.
No, I actually tipped them that week as well. I tipped them beat Sydney, so I was pretty happy with myself that week and went the double last week. I think there's a lot there for Collingwood.
Yeah.
And if you're a fan, and this is why Nathan Buckley, you have to feel for him sometimes because their turnover rate is shocking, and it's the where they make the turnovers. So if they can increase some pressure on the Bombers, who have apparently hit the ball, or maybe they haven't, as they've changed their story a few times, I think if they can keep the ball inside forward 50, Mayne is the man, and he can get his kicking boots on, he could kick 2 or 3 goals.
The main man, I like that. Well, they'll need plenty of opportunities inside 50 because they can't make most of them count at the moment. They're hitting about 1 of every 4 in front of goal, so that'll be fascinating to watch. The post-game predicted headline, a bit of an introduction this year into the Match Committee. Have you got a headline for us there, Filthy?
Rich vein of form. The Tigers go 5 on the trot.
Oh, Gosh. You're living in Melbourne at the moment. Down Punt Road, the main street there in Melbourne, is on a Monday morning after a Richmond victory is painful to a certain extent. Tom?
It's funny. Phil and I must be on the same wavelength after doing our Coach's Box podcast. I'm going to stick with the same game, and it's going to be Lewis to face his demons. I'm predicting a Richmond win as well, and that will mean they're 0-3 during that three-week suspension when Lewis had a brain fade, and I think Simon Goodwin has said that he was obviously unhappy with Jesse Hogan and Jordan Lewis, but as a player who's played so much senior footy, is an excellent player. I think if he played last week, they definitely would have beaten Fremantle.
Oh, no doubt. His experience and Hogan's structure and Gorn's presence in general, the three outs are just huge. But Lewis has had a big influence on that team, certainly from an off-field perspective and leadership perspective. Well, gentlemen, the first game we're going to have a look at, probably not necessarily the game of the round, but the Bulldogs and the Lions is intriguing for a number of different reasons, particularly the Dogs, the premiers from last year. They're going okay on the ladder and they're 3-1, but just numerically, a couple of interesting trends that have been noticed by the guys at Champion Data over recent weeks, and there's no better man to talk to us about the mighty Western Bulldogs than, of course, the record games holder at the Bulldogs. I think it's about 530 games it's up to now, because it just seems to get even bigger, the games tally every time he's introduced. But of course, he has one man joining the 300 club at the Dogs this weekend. His name is Brad Johnson. Hello, Bradley. How are you?
Good, thanks, Ben. How are you?
Going well. Great to have you back on board the Fox Footy podcast. Been a while since we've had you in the bunker, but great to have you on the highway, driving down the Geelong Highway today. Just on the Dogs, well, it's been a fascinating start to the season for the Dogs. They've been doing enough to get the W's on the victory, but in terms of their numbers from a team perspective, they're down on the numbers that I suppose personified them last year, like contested ball, time and forward half, but clearances is the big one, gone from plus six, number one, to minus five, which is number 16 in the competition. Do you think that's deliberate, or do you think it's just the guys probably aren't at their top of the game yet?
Oh, look, I think it's more the latter there, to be honest with you, Ben. Everyone's looking at the Dogs closely after what they achieved at the end of last year, and they got on a great roll. I think we've got to remember they finished seventh after home and away. I know they still won 15 or 16 games, but there were still six sides that clearly through that period of time were better than them. So the growth in this side is still quite big. I think we understand that as a competition and people looking at them closely. And we've got some young guys in there with a young list still that is still developing. So there's going to be fluctuations in form, I think, with those players and with the list over this year in particular. But look, yeah, they've got off to a pretty good start in terms of wins and losses, sitting 3-1, as you mentioned. There are a couple of areas that they have dropped away in, being fanatical around the ball and winning that contested ball has dropped away. But does it go back to Ben in terms of the fact that they may have started a month later in terms of their pre-season, and people look at that and, okay, well, a month is gone now in the footy season. So that excuse is gone and they sit 3-1. So really their season starts from this week on, and you'd like to see some of those areas in particular them get better at. And I think with no Roughhead in the ruck has really hurt the clearances around the ball. Tommy Campbell has tried extremely, but he's not as good as Roughhead. And Tom Boyd's your second ruckman, and hasn't started the season as well as what he finished last year.
Just before the guys throw a couple of questions at you, just on the tackle numbers as well, it's always good to be a good tackling side, but to go from 16th to first, is that just a sign that they're not getting their hands on the ball as much, and is that something that's sustainable for the rest of 2017?
Yeah, look, first possession is something that they really good at last year around the contest in particular, and then they're able to obviously flick them out and get their run and gun game going from that position. I think not winning the ruck, then the opposition now are obviously more confident in their own ruckman winning first tap down to their direct teammate. And I think the Dogs around the source of the ball are really having to put a lot more pressure on in that tackle sense. So, look, yeah, that's probably why their numbers have gone up a little bit in that area. But, look, if they get the other parts of their game right and they continually stay strong in that in the tackle aspect of the game, then look out. They're going to become very dangerous once again.
Jono, that 2016 Premiership side, you know, is categorised by the intensity around the ball, the effort and that you know, intense pressure. You know, is it potentially, you know, a thing where now that they've won a flag, that, you know, they're trying to reapply themselves and, you know, seek that motivation that potentially might, you know, might just be off a fraction because they are the premiers?
Oh, look, I don't think the motivation is off as such. I understand exactly what you're saying there. I think it's just the fact that they're now hunted by the opposition in a different fashion than they're probably used to. And in saying that, they've got to adjust to that. Some of the younger type players in their side, like McRae and Hunter and these guys that grew last year in such a big way, all of a sudden are getting looked at more closely by the opposition, and more time is spent on them as individuals, and the impact that they can have in games is trying to be restricted, I think. And look, at the start of the year, Dunkley and Clay Smith didn't get a game early. They were back in the side last week, and I think that helped a little bit, especially in that third quarter where they came back against North Melbourne, and they set up a different structure in their forward line where they went actually a little bit smaller and created a bit more chaos. Matty Suckling went forward as well and had a huge impact. So, look, in games, they're having, you know, one or two quarters that are actually getting them over the line at the moment. The four-quarter effort and consistency over four quarters just isn't there at present. So, yeah, there's a lot of work to do for a lot of players to get back to that level that we know they can. And that's the expectation now, isn't it? After winning a flag and the way they performed as a group in September last year, then, you know, that's the challenge for this group to get back to that some sort of level. You mightn't reach the heights of that again as a collective, but you've got to get somewhere near it again.
Jono, it's Tom Wilson here, mate. The new recruit, Travis Cloak, is obviously out after suffering that injury. What sort of approach does that give the Dogs? Do they change it? Is it maybe even beneficial? Do they change their avenues to goal, perhaps?
Oh, look, yeah, it is a shame. I thought he's actually started pretty well, Tom, with what he's been able to produce. One, on the scoreboard, but two, obviously competing in the air and allowing some of the smalls to get into the game or then floating around him and either get front square or get him behind and pitch some marks themselves inside forward 50. So I think he'll be a reasonable loss, Cloaky, for a couple of weeks if that's going to be the case. And, they might have to go small again. I think in the third quarter last week, like I just mentioned, I think that was a structure that might work for the Dogs in the short term until they obviously get him back and a few others. So hopefully Tom Boyd gets up with the eye injury that he sustained last week with that knock with Scotty Thompson. So they need at least one big up there. I think the others can actually float around and Jake Stringer can you know, obviously start to clunk some of the marks that he's going for will help as well. Obviously Cranmery not playing yet and Tory Dixon not in the frame yet. That's where the Dogs over the next couple of weeks may have to manufacture a bit of a forward line that can put some good pressure on to allow them to get those repeat entries and then hit the scoreboard.
Jono, who do you think Lion Mitch Robinson will go to this weekend? You know, we saw Lockie Hunter sort of taken out of the game last week on Good Friday. You know, do you think maybe Robbo will go and shut him down or potentially look at maybe limiting Marcus Bontempelli's impact on the contest?
Yeah, I think with Robinson, if he is going to run with an opposition player, I think he has to do it at the contest in around that. Just thinking now, though, he may go to potentially, you know, one of the half back runners. Whether he goes to a Johannesson, for example, and then try to score on him going the other way, because he can be quite effective as a forward, Robbo as well, and can kick two or three in a game. So they may look at that as an option to restrict the run off half back with the Dogs, and then try and get him on turnover and he score going potentially the other way.
Now, Jono, it's hard to believe that Bob Murphy's playing his 300th game. You know, he's been around for so long, and so long that you actually played quite a fair bit of your career alongside the great Bob Murphy. What has he meant to the Western Bulldogs? Obviously, could have been a premiership captain last year if it wasn't for that knee injury, but it almost felt like he was the premiership captain to a certain extent anyway. There's just this wonderful romanticism around Bob.
Yeah, look, it is. It's a huge congratulations, of course, reaching 300 games, and look, I've been able to play with most of them that are in that club as well. That probably shows my age there. Around for, but you know, I played with Hawk and Westy and Smitty and Granny, of course. So yeah, really lucky to play with some absolute champions over my career, and Bob's included in that. Look, he was an amazing talent as a young man. He worked extremely hard to get to the position that he's in today, and he was you know, highly respected when I was playing with him, and that's probably gone to another level again now in the way that I think he handled himself last year in particular, doing the knee and then seeing the boys go on and win the flag. Look, probably, you know, probably sitting at home every now and then, he probably had some moments where he wished he could have been there and it would have been tough, but you never saw that from Bob. It was all about the club and where the group was going, and that's exactly who he is as a person, and that's why, you know, I was rapt to see that, and no doubt he was a big part of that. The way that he would have helped Easton Wood and Bonds and the like, the guys that did lead the club throughout last year when he was injured, off-field he would have been doing a truckload of work with those guys to help limit their load, and he would have been doing all the off-field stuff and helping them with their on-field leadership, which shone through in September.
Plenty's changed in those 300 games as well, particularly maturity as well, and he's developed into a wonderful halfback. But has his body changed at all? He's still a skinny runt, isn't he?
He is, but let me tell you, he's one of the strongest guys that would be at the footy club. So right. He might be skinny, but in terms of pure strength and his core strength in particular, you could really move Bob off the line. So even when, you know, we compete, even at training when he was, you know, through 100, 150 games, when he really started to establish himself in the competition, it was extremely difficult to compete one-on-one against Bob. He's wiry, and he always made a way to fight through the contest, whether he was playing on a tall or a small. In training, he was very difficult to take a mark against. So he's always had that real strength about him, although he's not the heaviest guy. You know, like Dale Morris is a bit thicker set. Bob always found a way to get the job done. Mm.
Right, well, you're on your way, getting in very early, actually, to try and beat the Westgate peak hour for league teams tonight. What have you got on the agenda tonight on Fox Footy?
Well, I'm having a really smooth run at the moment, Ben, which is always good. I'm not at the Westgate yet. I'm not far away, so we'll see what happens there. Now, league teams is going to be great tonight. Obviously, Derm and Roosie will be in fine form. Lynchy's having a rest tonight, and myself and Dicko will be trying to obviously dissect the games. And I think it's been really good, the change with league teams, because it's a bit more of a casual conversation just about where the sides are at that moment and how they're going to play on the weekends. Hopefully, we're giving the people an insight, especially through Roosie and his experience on how the sides will line up and what people can look forward to seeing when they watch their team on the weekend.
Oh, mate, looking forward to it. It'll be on at 6:30 on Fox Footy Channel 504 for all those playing at home. Jono, enjoy the weekend, and I'm sure you could talk about the Dogs all day, but we do have to let you go, so enjoy.
No worries. Have a great day.
Let's go on, guys, to the Giants and the Swans, the Sydney Derby. What a time to come up to Sydney for the podcast ahead of the mighty Derby on, or Derby, depending on what side of the Nullarbor you come from there, Tom. Ahead of Saturday night's clash at the SCG, and you've come straight from Sydney training to join us here in the podcast. I think Paddy Stack on AFL Tonight noticed during the week that Buddy trained pretty bad on Tuesday. Was he out in the track today, and how did he look?
Yeah, he was out there and having some shots on goal. We only got that sort of first 20 to 30 minutes today, yep. But he was one of those in the main group, so there'll be no dramas there. And they're trying to keep, they're not trying to dwell on their first four rounds. They're trying to take whatever positives that they can. I think they've played really well in parts. Mm. They just haven't been able to string it all together across the four rounds, so they're trying to focus on that. One thing that they can take out is that they do lead the Derby ledger 8-3, but the Giants have won the last two, but they're yet to lose to the Giants at the SCG, where yes. They're playing on Saturday night.
And the last time these two teams played was, I think, a pretty historic day for Sydney in this for AFL in Sydney with the qualifying final last year, which the Giants won, Phil, and it was a super impressive performance.
Yeah, big time. I mean, you know, certainly a few new faces in both teams since that clash. But, you know, based on the last two times these sides have met, the Giants have had the wood on them and they've out-swanned the Swans, particularly, you know, just hard around the footy. They've out-muscled them. And, you know, despite being a Swans fan, I can't see that changing this week. That, you know, the Swans have been, you know, disappointing in the midfield. And I think that's where the Giants will, you know, be superior this weekend. You know, and yeah, the Swans likely to go to none and five, which is really concerning.
Yeah, it is. And there's I don't think there's been a team ever, off the top of my head, that have started zipping five and gone on to make the finals. I know that the Kangaroos in 1975 were the only team to go zipping four and make the finals, and they actually went on to win the premiership that year. Which
looks like there could be a bit of rain at the SCG on Saturday night as well. So, I mean,
something a bit different.
You know, on the surface, it seems like that might play in the Swans' favour. I don't think it will, though. I think, as I said, the Giants have been harder around the footy in these clashes in recent times, and I think it might favour them.
What's your hunch on the Swans selection coming up, Tom? Because they did flag early in the week that there's a lot of injured players who've missed it the first month, like McVeigh and Rampy and Heaney, maybe, that might come into the side. Are you expecting some big changes at the selection table on Thursday night?
Yeah, the way they were talking, they're buoyed by those guys at least being back out on the training track. I'd be surprised if they didn't pick all four. Tippett back in. Naismith won't play.
Huge call.
Isaac Heaney, Mark McVeigh,
Jared McVeigh. Yes.
And also Gary Rohan. Gary Rohan might be the one that they, just considering his history, they might slot back into the kneeful. But they certainly need those guys back, just because Sydney have just such got great midfield depth, and that's what they've been lacking. And if you insert some of those guys back in there, it really helps them. And I think it's just good to give that small lift that guys like Hanbury and Luke Parker need. Josh Kennedy's been leading from the front. And even Callum Mills, who spoke today, has been probably a little bit down on the projections. So having someone like McVeigh back there to be the quarterback in defence would certainly help their side. So I just get the sense that they don't feel like being there an 0-4 team. Like, I've been around Port Adelaide, you know, in their dark years, and you could sense that they were an 0-4 team or a team that's really struggling. Sydney certainly don't feel like that at all.
Just, and speaking of Port Adelaide, and of course you're an objective reporter with a slight favourance towards the Port Adelaide side, but I'm sure you would have seen the last quarter last week that the Giants just pummeled Port Adelaide, and I think just gave us a glimpse of their potential. And this is without Stevie J, Griffin, Deledio and Whitfield as well. That would have been scary to see last week, just how good the Giants can be in only one quarter.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It was a definite case of that, because Port Adelaide almost probably played better for the first three quarters, but they only had a 3 or 4 point lead at three quarter time. And I actually went and saw Winks a couple of weeks ago, and it reminded me a lot of that. The Giants had a hold on her up until about the 300, and then Huey let go. And they certainly did that in the last quarter. They were too big, too strong, just too classy.
Yeah.
And that's the ominous thing for the rest of the competition.
Speaking of thoroughbreds, John Patton. He looked really good late.
He's back.
That's the big concern from a non-Giant perspective. He just, you know, he was too big and too strong for anyone last week, clunking big marks, kicked a big bag. We saw it at the back end of last season, and I think that's only going to become more consistent throughout the course of 2017.
Now, he won't be named tonight, and he might not be named for 5 to 6 weeks, but the story of Alex Johnson has captured the AFL world. I think the Swans are saying he's perhaps 5 to 6 weeks away from playing, and that's probably definitely via the kneeful first, you'd have to say. But five knee reconstructions, like Menzel is lauded for coming back from four. Five is unbelievable. 12 knee surgeries overall. It'd be a magnificent story, hopefully, when he comes back this year, Tom.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've watched Patrick Stack for AFL Tonight is doing a big comeback feature.
Yep.
So look out for that in coming months. And I've seen a bit of tape of just how he's talked. And he talked about how he saw six different doctors, and on his last one, and four of them have said, don't play footy. And another thing that he said was that, we can reconstruct your knee, leave the tendon in there, and you won't be able to play footy, but you'll be right and laughing. He's like, it was a no-brainer. I got it taken out so I can play footy. And it's just like remarkable and marvellous. And he's just so focused on getting that feeling. Remember, his last game of AFL was the 2012 Grand Final.
Yeah.
So he would still have that euphoria deep inside him, which is driving him to play again.
And watching the way that Menzel's got that confidence in his own body now,
yeah,
the way he's, you know, jumping above everyone else and taking ridiculous marks and kicking ridiculous goals, that would give Johnson some real confidence.
Not too many players on grand final day have had the courage to sort of elbow Craig Willis away from the microphone on the dais, but Alex Johnson did on that 2012 grand final day, so he's got one up on most of the competition, I think. Huge game on Anzac Day, Eve. This has become a nice little tradition over past 3 years with the Tigers and the D's meeting the day before Anzac Day, and this will be on a Monday night starting at 7:20, but obviously everyone will, most of, well, except for us here, will have the day off on the Tuesday. But with are you a Tigers believer? Is anyone here a Tigers believer? They're 4-0.
Oh, like would it be fair to say that more and more people are starting to think that they can make the finals?
Yeah.
And I'm certainly in that category because they've really improved in a lot of areas, and their pressure, particularly in the forward half, is what, gave the Dogs so much success last year. I think to a certain extent, Richmond are trying to replicate that formula. And so far it's working. Obviously, they haven't had any perhaps major tests yet.
Yeah.
This being maybe the first one.
Yep.
The D's best is pretty good. But yeah, I'm certainly a believer that they can make the finals. They won't go, much further than that.
So they take on Melbourne on Monday night, but then their next 4 weeks after that, Tom, Adelaide, Western Bulldogs, and Adelaide's over in Adelaide as well. The Dogs at Etihad Stadium, where the Dogs do their best work. Fremantle at the MCG, who just seem to have turned the corner. And then just the Giants at Spotless Stadium, just to round out for a pretty interesting month.
It does, and that's why they need to win on Monday night. I mean, everything that they've done is relative. Like, you really can't criticise them too much. They went up and pants Brisbane up there, which is not necessarily an easy thing to do by the looks of it this year. They beat West Coast, who look like they could be a top four team, and everything they're doing is just so much better, which is obvious. But the way they're playing, the way that Dimmer's been talking, the focus of making sure that they're in form and winning form in the preseason has filtered out into the main season. They just look, you just watch that first game of the season, they just looked a different team, moving it on at all costs. They weren't stagnant or anything like that. And, remember that Dusty, we talked about it before, he was cut out of that game and they still thumped.
Yeah.
Brisbane. So they've got options now. Their recruiting's been very good. Nankervis and Prestia just really give them that extra few options, and Caddy as well.
Yeah, and that small forward brigade led by Daniel Rioli, who's doing some pretty special things at the moment. He's certainly got one up over Cyril at this stage.
They can still get through this patch without losing at home. That's the important thing. They beat Frio, they beat the D's, and they head into that middle part of the season still having not dropped a game at home, which you have to do if you're a finals team.
I think any Richmond supporter would be pretty happy after round 9 at 6-3, considering of what they went through last year. So that's on Monday night. And then the traditional Anzac Day clash between Essendon and Collingwood. We talked, I think, at the start about the thumping that you went and witnessed at the MCG last year. Essendon are a totally different side this year, from a personnel perspective. Just a couple of signs in the last couple of weeks that maybe they have hit the wall. And I think, from John Worsfold's perspective, it may have just been a poor choice of words. And whether he's talking about the whole team or just the previously banned players in general, because Dyson Heppel says he feels fine and you've got to take him on his word. But it's going to be fascinating to see how the Bombers bounce back this weekend.
Yeah, I've found them the most impossible team to predict. And that's probably not a new thing.
But it's unprecedented.
It's really hard to know what you're going to get. And Collingwood's sort of in that boat. You don't know what you're going to get out of them. You'd think that there's going to be a response from the Bombers. And it's not an easy task to go over to Adelaide, who are absolutely flying. And when they get a roll on, it's really hard to stop them. You'd expect if they had, in fact, a few players were tired, they've got, 9-10 day break between that game. So I'm expecting a response from the Bombers. They'll certainly be discussing the ways that they can beat the Pies. And it's such a momentous day. Despite how disappointing the margin was last year, it's still one of the best days on the footy calendar. And regardless of form, it's always a great game. I'm expecting Essendon to really bounce back this week.
Plenty of talk this week, Phil, about the Pies, and almost to a certain extent, I reckon they were glad that Hawthorne got trounced, because they've been the bigger story this week than Collingwood, and Collingwood's always a big story if they're winning or losing, no matter what. But I think we're expecting Daniel Wells to play for the first time, who's been plagued by calf injuries right throughout, but he's played for the VFL on the weekend, when we were able to see that, and he had 16 touches from sort of 2.5, 3 quarters. So he looked okay, but there's plenty of calls this week to bring him straight back into the side.
Yeah, and they didn't need... I don't think they needed big numbers out of him last week. They just needed him to get through the game without any further niggles. They definitely should bring him in, and I'm really interested to see how he goes with the likes of Pendlebury and Treloar in the middle. There will be times when they're looking for Wells to use the ball on the outside. But I'm also hoping that, as a Treloar super coach owner, I'm hoping that Wells can help Treloar get some footy on the outside as well, yeah. And really give him some opportunities to regain some form.
Well, Treloar almost epitomises what that Collingwood midfield is all about at the moment. They're getting so much of the flipping ball, but they're not using it accurately. And I suppose the great stat the Champion Data brought out to Fox this week is that they're averaging 39.7 disposals per goal, which is ranked 18th in the competition. The Crows only have 20 per goal, which is pretty big. And the other thing that they came out with was once the Pies are inside 50, they goal 18.5% of the time, which is the worst return ever recorded by Champion Data. So whether it's probably a combination of just, I think overall, Tom, a lack of synergy between that midfield, which is getting so much of the ball, and a forward line that just can't take a trick at the moment.
It is. It's quite amazing because I actually have quite liked their list, and it's based out of that midfield.
Yep.
Every coach or every player during the week, when they're asked about where it's going to be won, it's in the midfield.
Yep.
It's not working out for Collingwood for those reasons that we've discussed, but that's why I feel as though they're not far off. Just because they've got so much talent in there. Like Pendlebury's just shown what a class player he is this season. I know he missed an important goal last week. But it's just trying to find that answer. I mean, we've seen Howe play up forward, but I wouldn't like them to do that yet because we touched on it before. We need Reed and we need him back there playing there. That's why I just feel I have a lot of optimism about Collingwood, but the season runs away quickly. I know it's only round four, it's only round five, but it does get to a point where it slips away too fast.
Wells will help. He uses the ball, obviously, at an elite level. So I think he'll be able to, send it inside 50 effectively a number of times to the Pies this week. As we said, get another tall up forward, and bring the likes of Fasolo and Jamie Elliott into the game at ground level.
Yep.
And they're two guys that probably need to reassess their role as well because they love leading and taking big marks. But do your job. Get the ball at ground level. Dish it off to your teammates. And that's where they'll start hitting the scoreboard more effectively.
Just quickly before we leave this game, Jeremy Howe's comments to AAP straight after the game were fascinating during the week. He said, as a team, we've got blokes that aren't performing for four quarters. They might perform for two quarters and then die out of the game. We've got too many blokes that at the moment are like that at the moment, and it's costing us. Copped a little bit of flack, I think, Jeremy, and I suppose that's the problem when it's a print interview as well, that you don't know that the tone of what it was set. Copped a fair bit of flack, particularly on the couch on Monday night, that he's almost separated himself from the group when he almost could be some of the problem when he goes to those high-flying marks as well. This is a fascinating conversation, Phil.
Not a good look. Everyone is so well-trained in the media these days to say all the right things. So I'm glad he's giving a little bit of colour. But when you're dishing the heat onto your teammates, you're not doing the right thing by your team and the club.
Yeah, I think it's a hard one because I don't... enjoy people saying the wrong things, but I think he's actually trying to be honest there, and I think that's all we ever ask for when we're trying to do interviews. I think all he had to do, a bit like the Worsfold situation, choice of words, all he had to say was, "and I'm one of them."
Yeah.
Or just something in there like
some
that.
Some responsibility.
Even if it was just a small portion, even if he didn't feel that was the
truth. As we said, it was a print interview. Maybe he did.
Yeah,
well, that's the thing. Because, selective. I mean, he has copped it a little bit, but I've really liked his form this year.
He's going okay. He's certainly not their worst player at the moment. Hawthorn and the Eagles, fascinating game on Sunday night. Sunday twilight game. This will be a really interesting one. But it almost loses a bit of pizzazz, I think, if Sam Mitchell doesn't play. And from what it sounds like, he's very unlikely to play at the moment. And it loses a bit of sexiness, I think, this game.
Yeah, well, with the top of the podcast, you said, what's your post game predicted headline. Yeah. I really wanted to try and come up with one that expressed that Clarkson and his boys will really rally. And it's, it's only a matter of time before Clarko starts to get these guys heading back in the right direction, I feel. He's just too good a coach, you know, with too good a culture at that club for that not to happen. But then you look on the other side of it, and if West Coast don't go over and perform at the MCG, that's just as big a storyline, if not bigger, than if the Hawks were to turn things around this week. So, so many interesting storylines heading into this game.
Do they need to be brutal at selection, Tom? They've got guys who've been very substandard so far. Ty Vickery's just having a shocking time at the moment, and we all know how much of a cult figure Ty is amongst the footy fans. Yeah. Ben Stratton, Bruce, Shields, Langford, Birchall, Hartung, a lot of premiership players, you know, four-time premiership players, Birchall certainly one of those. There just isn't, at Box Hill level, and I see a fair bit of Box Hill play, there's not a lot of guys pushing for for senior selection as well at the moment.
I can't see them doing what Ross Lyon did after round two. I can't see that working at Hawthorn. It feels a little bit more to a greater extent, and Port Adelaide didn't get to the heights that the Hawthorn footy club did. But it feels a bit, following Port Adelaide closely after the last few years, they're just, their players have just haven't improved and dropped off for a period of time. Now, it looks like those power guys have bounced back, but that's the case. So it's just about trying to regenerate those guys, whether it's motivation or trying to get them to find form. It's going to take time. But I think that they've, along with what Phil said, I don't think a raft of changes will really resurge this team. It's just a matter, it's just going to take some time. It's really quite baffling how far they've fallen off in these first four rounds. And I can't see them doing it this week, just because I think West Coast are too good. Their midfield, you know, considering you've taken out Jordan Lewis and Sam Mitchell out of that Hawks midfield, the depth at the Eagles is just too much.
Conversely, it's baffling how much Fremantle have been able to turn themselves around. And so, and I think Kingy on the couch said this, came up with a Harry Potter euphemism when he was talking about the Muggles are out and the wizards are in, and the Muggles were Zach Dawson, Subin, Daniel Pearce, Jonathan Griffin and the like. And they've brought in, I wouldn't classify Brady Gray and Crozier as wizards or Sheridan, but he's brought in, Ross Lyon has brought in some younger guys. He's played Neil and Mundy in the forward line. The two of them kicked seven goals between them. And their pressure has gone from 17th in the competition across rounds one and two to third in the competition across rounds three and four. It's revitalised the club.
Yeah, and that stat perfectly reflects you know, what's happened at Fremantle, because all of a sudden you're bringing in guys that have a reason to play. You know, they're playing for their future. They're playing for contract extensions. They're young guys, you know, as opposed to these guys that have been around for a while and perhaps just don't have that drive anymore. So, and that's the concern with Hawthorn. They really don't have a lot of wizards to bring in from their Box Hill unit.
Yes.
You know, there's talk of maybe bringing in a Dallas Willsmore, you know, who had 32 and a goal on the weekend. He's a wingman. You know, they do need, it's just a matter of the guys that they do have in that top team. They need to start executing by foot and by hand more effectively, because that is the fabric of Hawthorn's success over the years. It hasn't been the contested ball numbers. It's just their ball use and their ability to use it efficiently.
Freo take on North Melbourne this weekend, Tom. And North's a fascinating case at the moment, because we didn't expect big things from them, and they're still zipping four, but they've been in every single game that they should have been. And I think there's a stat that on the couch put up on Monday night that Brad Scott at North Melbourne have gone 4-14, so 4 out of 18 games they've won in games decided by under a goal. So a lack of maturity, or maybe a lack of planning for times like that. It's a bit of a concern, because they should have really beaten the Dogs on a Good Friday.
Yeah, they should have beaten the Dogs, and they should have beaten the Cats as well. It was a potentially contentious free kick against Braden Pruce.
It's not about the AFL.
That's right. I wasn't very happy with that one, watching the game at the time. I really felt for North Melbourne. And the hard thing about North is that if you said, oh, they'll be 0-4 looking at their draw, you'd be like, yeah, they'll be 0-4. Not a problem. What, GWS, Geelong, Western Bulldogs, and what was the other game that they lost? I can't remember. But so they're sort of games that you expect them. I think it was West Coast.
Yes,
so
round one.
Look at all those teams that they've played and lost to.
Yes.
All going to play finals, most likely. So, but in saying that, you just like, oh, you feel for them. They should be 2-2, and they've been right there. And it's funny how context change in a season with Freo, 2 weeks ago, you'd be like, oh, they'll go over to Freo and get their first win. But Freo have revitalised, which is just proof that the game is so above the shoulders.
Yeah.
It's in your mind, its approach, the way that you think about the game, because you can't make a, what was it, 15-goal loss to Port Adelaide and then go out and beat the reigning premiers next week if it's got nothing to do with the mind.
Being selfish for a sec, whoever came up with that stat that, you know, North are only 4-14 with games decided under a goal needs to probably go and have a look at the Swans too, because I think they only beat Carlton and Brisbane Lions last year by a goal or less, whereas they lost three games by a kick, you know, the Hawks, Richmond, and that's right. There was another one as well. I can't think off the top of my head.
And they've conversely, Hawthorne were very good at winning by under a goal.
Oh, for sure. The Swans barely won, you know, any of those tight games where there was an arm wrestle in the fourth quarter. The Bulldogs as well at the SCG.
That's right.
Collingwood, of course, this year as well. So, you know, that's a concern for both of these teams.
Well, this is basically the moment of truth, gents. And we go through our tips, and it's basically the bit of the podcast that really everyone only really listens to. So let's go through yours, Phil. Starting with the mighty Port Adelaide Power taking on Carlton Adelaide Oval on Friday night and working our way down to the Anzac Day clash between the Dons and the Pies.
Yeah, the first four games I didn't have any trouble tipping, but the next five are a toss of the coin. So I've gone Port to beat Carlton, the Bulldogs to beat the Lions in Bob's 300. Adelaide to beat the Suns up at Metricon, the Giants to beat the Swans. And then I think North can turn the tide and get the job done over in Fremantle.
Got a hunch too.
Freo, I think maybe they're going to hit a bit of a wall at some point. I've got Geelong to beat St Kilda, but I think that could go either way. Look, I'm tipping a big upset here. I'm taking the Hawks to bounce back. And I also, as the headline pointed out earlier, I think Richmond can go 5-0. And I don't think Essendon have really showed us anything this year, to be perfectly blunt. So I think Collingwood would be too good for them on Anzac.
Because when you think of that round one win against Hawthorn, well, Hawthorn are clearly the worst team in the competition at the moment.
Yeah.
So it's not going well. Any differential there, Tom, to Phil's tips?
Slightly different. So Port Adelaide, obviously tomorrow night, I think they're going to go big. I think teams will never admit it, but they do look at games where they can gain some percentage. Teams were certainly doing it last year.
Doesn't necessarily help the mindset, though.
No, it doesn't help the mindset, but I just think that they are playing great footy. They've lost to the two best teams in the competition in the last 2 weeks, and they're
better than 2-2.
That's for sure. Western Bulldogs, Adelaide, obviously, although Gold Coast... you know,
can make
a case for them. I think Adelaide will still win because I think that they're tied as the best team in the comp. But Gold Coast have been promising in the last couple of weeks. I'd love to tip Sydney because I tipped them last week as well. But I just think the Giants will be too strong. What we talked about with the Mighty Mayor Winks.
Yes.
Fremantle at home. I just can't tip with just the trip for North Melbourne, although they do play pretty well over there. Geelong to beat St Kilda. West Coast to beat Hawthorne. I'm going to go against Philba there. Richmond, again, 5-0. And, yeah, I've talked about how I do quite like Collingwood, so I think they get it done.
Any upsets for you, Benny?
I'm almost on the North Melbourne bandwagon to a certain extent as well. I think they've got a show because they have proven that they can be competitive in most of their games this year. And I've just got a hunch about the Suns. I don't know what it is. It's just a hunch, but...
Wow,
they've been pretty good in the last couple of weeks, so that's just a watch, not necessarily a full blown tip.
Don't buy Brandon Matera in Supercoach.
No, he's gone pretty big in the last couple of weeks. It's good to see him playing well, but yeah, he's only averaging the 60 the past couple of years, so wouldn't be going with that. Gents, I think I might come up to Sydney and get free accommodation and flights a little bit more often. It's very enjoyable to come and do the podcast in the Marty R. Tarman studios here. So thanks for your time. Enjoy your weekend of footy.
Thanks for popping up.
Pleasure. My absolute pleasure. And of course, you can check out Phil's work on foxfooty.com.au and Tom all the way throughout the week on AFL Tonight and Fox Sports News Channel 500 and, of course, on Fox Footy as well. Enjoy your weekend of footy, and we'll see you next week.